Welcome to Forward Thinking, a podcast from Foundation Source. I'm your host, Dori Krieger. Foundation Source is the nation's largest provider of comprehensive support services for private foundations, bringing unparalleled knowledge and expertise to over 1,200 clients across the country. The best ideas in philanthropy aren't always the tried and true. Trailblazing entrepreneurs and next-generation philanthropists are transforming the sector with inspiring ideas and innovative strategies. Join us as we explore the advice, experience, and insight of some of the creative minds shaping our collective future. Who says you have to be of retirement age to become a philanthropist? For that matter, who says you have to be 18? Certainly not today's guest, Serena Dayal, who became a junior board member of her family's private foundation when she was 14. She is a member of the third generation of the Tarsadia Foundation. Now a junior at the University of California, Davis, Serena is an experienced grantmaker studying sustainable environmental design and Middle Eastern and South Asian studies. She has done volunteer work with the foundation locally and globally, spoken at several conferences, on webinars, podcasts on philanthropy, facilitated board meetings, conducted international site visits, and serves on the board of Youth Philanthropy Connect. In this segment, we'll hear more about Serena's experiences on the Tarsadia Foundation's junior board, what she's gained personally, and how organized philanthropy has influenced her path in life. Serena, thank you for being in the studio with me today.
Thank you so much, Dori.
How were you introduced to the idea of joining the junior board of your family's foundation?
I remember my dad came up to me and my sister one day and said, hey, we have this junior board that we're forming, and like basically just told us that you're going to be a part of it. And at the time, I didn't understand a whole lot of what that meant. I just knew it was a few meetings with family, which is like, how different could that be than a normal family gathering, and a couple of volunteer experiences and a trip abroad, which all sounded to me like a whole lot of fun at the time.
And how old were you?
I was 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a new experience out of the blue. Your dad just came to you and said, hey.
Yeah, basically this is happening and you're going to be a part of it. And I had no idea what that meant or how that was going to impact anything else.
How did you feel about it when he asked you? Were you excited?
I was pretty excited. I was pretty like, okay, cool, new opportunity. Let's do it. It's with the family, so that made it a whole lot more comfortable to get involved with.
What does it mean to be a part of the junior board? What does being on the junior board mean for the Tarsadia Foundation?
Being on the junior board, it seems like a very natural thing. Now it's almost the entire family is involved, and every youth in the family, like all of the kids, are on the junior board, and it's just like a very comfortable space, and it's a really nice thing that we all have and share and can talk to each other about. It's just like another way for the family, especially the kids, for all of us to connect.
And if I remember, there's a lot of kids that are on the junior board.
Yeah, there's about 20 of us.
Wow, so that's pretty amazing to come together.
Yeah.
How often do you meet, and what do you guys discuss at a meeting?
I would say we meet a few times a year for meetings, and they're always a little different. So we have a few meetings that are with the adult board, and we have a few meetings on our own. So sometimes we'll all be like, hey, let's all gather at this person's house, have dinner, and then we'll break off into our separate meetings. And it's a lot of fun and work. And then sometimes it'll be like, let's meet in the office and we'll discuss more programmatic things. But when we get together, we always do debriefs on like what's been going on, what are any upcoming or past volunteer things we've done, a personal update as well, and then we get into our grant work. We're just testing out, just now actually this month, testing out doing teams. So because there are so many of us, and we all have different identities, backgrounds, interests, we're trying to form teams that give us a little more room to decide where we want to give and how we want to give, and also help us get more attached to whoever we're giving to, and so we are more responsible on top of doing our site visits.
What do you focus on? What is your mission area?
So the Tarsadia Foundation focuses on three areas: economic empowerment, health and well-being, and education.
What is it that got you hooked? What got you really excited about being a grant maker?
I would have to say just like recently realizing how much power comes with being able to give that much to others. And realizing that that's such a privilege and realizing that I need to tap into this and use it because I have this privilege. And so that's been really motivating for me to be on top of all of this because I want to affect change. And since I have the ability, I should utilize that.
Serena, it would be interesting to hear how the Junior Board has operated in terms of grant making up until this point.
So up until now, we had an annual grant cycle, so it was once a year. We would meet a few times to review grants. It was kind of everyone had a say, and there was no one leader because we liked it like that. We liked everyone to feel like they had a voice, the younger ones, the older ones. And then we would be given all of the grant applications to review ahead of time, and then we would all have had them reviewed on our own. And then when we come to meetings, we have discussion. So we would just discuss how we felt about each individual grant application and get a feel for all of them. And then we would do a simple voting process and then vote for, did we want to give to this person or not? And then also we could change the amount if we wanted to.
Nice.
Yeah. And so it was all consensus based. Everyone had a say, and that was something that we tried to do.
So when the Junior Board meets, mm-hmm. you guys vetted all the applications. So you had to do some homework ahead of time to read them.
Yeah.
You come together for discussion. So you're all leading by consensus too, like compromising, mm-hmm. right? And then once you voted on, and I presume you voted on, okay, we want to do this grant and this amount, did the Junior Board have to go to the more senior board to get approval? Or was your vote like, okay, then this is what we're granting?
Our vote is final. So wow. Once we're done and once we decide we're going to give to XYZ and we're going to give these amounts, we would just hand that over to our executive director, and that was it.
Because
this is like the power of the Junior Board, is that it's all about what we want to do.
Was there, I'm just curious, mm-hmm. Being part of such a big family too, when you were at those board meetings, was there ever a time where you had to really advocate for a cause that you cared about?
Yeah, definitely. Because we're all youth and we all are doing different things. Some of us are more athletic. Some of us are more into science. Some of us are into art. So you can definitely feel what people are pushing for.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it would get a little complicated. And sometimes you have to remember that this isn't just like we're not having a family conversation here. We can't be so relaxed. Like this is a meeting and that we have to end the meeting at some point and that we have to end like with decisions made.
Was there a particular grant that you are proud of or that was especially meaningful to you?
I think one grant that I'm really happy that we gave and are continuing actually to give to is to a nonprofit called International Princess Project. And they do work in third world areas, including India, and with going into red light districts and providing jobs for women who have been trafficked. And creating these beautiful, beautiful, what they call punjamis, or like pants, and then selling them. And so like creating entrepreneurship. And they're locally based also. So that was a nice thing that like a lot of us got to visit them and get involved with them and get to know them. And so like that was one that wasn't too hard for the board to agree upon giving to, but has just been like a really, really great connection that we've built.
Did you go to India and do a site visit?
We didn't go to India and do a site visit. Yeah, we visited their office in Southern California.
But you have done international site visits,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah.
How was that experience?
The international visits are a lot of fun, but also a lot of work and very eye-opening. It's an interesting experience to do a site visit. We do site visits, but also volunteer work. We've gone to India, Peru, and Cambodia. And then this upcoming December, we're going again to India.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
When you're with your family,
mm-hmm.
you're traveling abroad, you're thinking about grant making, you're in parts of the third world, and you're in this position of trying to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
How did that feel?
It feels really good, and it feels really nice and comfortable to have your family there and for all of you to be doing something together. But it is a very meaningful experience, because it's one thing to be sitting at home or in an office and like write a grant, and
mm-hmm.
but it's another thing to actually go and see and talk to and become familiar with people who you actually want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very exciting to have this opportunity, and I think also very motivating for us all to keep going. But it's also an interesting contrast, because you see the people you're helping in the place that they exist, and you see and you remember yourself and like where you come from and where you exist. And it just makes you understand these disparities and feel more motivated to do more. And personally, sometimes it's like an interesting situation because we'll go out somewhere and we'll do a whole bunch of work all day, but then we get to come back to like a hotel or wherever we're staying. And it's just a really weird feeling. But the nice thing is that we've been able to have conversations about that with the family. So we'll go and we'll do work and we'll come back, but we'll still reflect. Or we'll, and when we get back home, even, we try to like remind ourselves of like this experience and what it meant to all of us. And that keeps us motivated to continue to do work.
When you were in high school doing this with your family, did you ever share these experiences with some of your friends that weren't involved in the foundation?
I did, but it was always a hard thing to explain.
Yeah.
It was something that you would try to talk about, but didn't really know how to, because it's like an experience you're having that a lot of other people couldn't understand or relate to. So it was difficult, but I would share them, more like in stories. But it has helped a lot to like find other youth philanthropists and have a relationship with them to understand what we do and how other people are doing things differently or similarly and what works and what doesn't.
And so that makes me think about your board service on Youth Philanthropy Connect. Is that where you establish a lot of those peer connections?
Yeah. Youth Philanthropy Connect has been like a great opportunity for me personally and for my other Tar Sadie Foundation junior board members to meet other youth philanthropists and just talk about what we do.
What's been a key learning that you've gotten out of being a part of Youth Philanthropy Connect?
Just that everyone is doing so much and doing it all incredibly with incredibly different models has been really motivating to know that there are people who are accomplishing the same thing in different ways, and that's pretty neat. And then the other thing, for me, realizing that it's not something that I want to keep hidden. It's not something that I should feel any shame for having this really, really wonderful opportunity. But it's something that I'm, in fact, proud of and that I should be utilizing as much as I can. And so it should be something that I should be able to share with whoever, because it is such a powerful, positive thing to have this ability.
Well said. When you think about when you were a teenager and trying to talk to your friends about this and how sometimes it was weird, it's hard, like but you would go to storytelling. How do you talk to your friends now about it? Is there a difference?
I think there's a little bit of difference just in that I'm more comfortable in sharing. And in fact, now, given who I've surrounded myself by now, it's actually nice to know that I can reach out to my friends and be like, hey, I know you're doing this work or you're interested in this. Who is a nonprofit that you've been in touch with? And so actually going out and not only telling them what I do, but also asking them for help and asking them for resources or nonprofits that they've heard of or any work that's going on that somehow I can contribute to also.
I'd like you to take a step back for a moment
and
think about when you were, I don't know, little, or when are your first memories of giving? You know, you said your dad came to you when you were 14 and said, hey, you're going to be on the junior board. This is exciting. And you received it.
Mm-hmm.
What is your first memory of giving?
It has to be with my grandma. And so she was someone who just gave so much to everyone in different ways, especially with like love and care and food. And so to me, like, even when my dad approached me, it seemed like a very like a natural thing, like, okay, yes, we have to do this work because it's just a part of who we are and our family values. I can't pinpoint a single experience, but it's just been like our entire
It's almost part of your DNA.
Yeah.
It's who you are.
Yeah, it feels like who we are and who our my like entire family is. And I saw a quote recently that was, story is the most important unit of social change. And I just really liked that and how it made me think of like reflecting on my own story or reflecting on my own like ancestry and who I am and like where I've come from. And it's a really, really great motivator, because when you think of, for me personally, when I think of where my grandparents came from and what they have faced and how what they have faced has, like, despite what they have faced, they've been able to accomplish so much. and like remembering like that is who I am as well. Mm-hmm. That's like inspired me so much to like I can do so much more.
And so when you're in this reflection, mm-hmm. of course, there's a moment where you start looking forward too,
yeah.
right? You're, you know, you're halfway through college.
Yeah.
You're going to be out there in the big, bold world soon.
Yeah.
And if you think about, you just said it so eloquently about how your family has supported you and instilled this, these philanthropic values.
Mm-hmm.
What's the path forward?
Being completely honest, I feel so lost right now. In terms of where I'm going, but the comforting thing is like I am increasingly being reaffirmed by who I am, who my family is, the values I have, the things I've been learning in college. And despite how many contradictions like college and life and everything like has been presenting me with, I find there's a lot of connection. There's so much connection between what my family wants for me or what my family values are and what I'm learning in college and what I want to do. I still don't know exactly what I want to do, but I know that it has to affect some sort of social change.
So thank you, Serena. Thanks for being so candid and for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
To learn more about this segment of Forward Thinking and our work at Foundation Source, please visit our resources page at foundationsource.com. While you're there, tell us what you thought of this segment and who you'd like to hear in a future one. We'd love to hear from you. Our podcast is produced by Gabrielle Galanek. I'm your host, Dori Krieger.